You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Hey, good morning. I was reminded this past week that I told y'all mushrooms are slimy and nasty, and most of y'all agreed with that. And but I was reminded, my wife reminded me, that I do actually drink mushroom coffee every morning. And because I drink mushroom coffee every morning, I have much more clarity and clear vision about life because of that. And so there is one good thing about mushrooms. It is you can drink it in your coffee or as your coffee, and it does good things for you. Everybody say amen. Amen. Awesome. Very good. Hey, one of the things y'all know, Becky and I have entered into this new season called empty nesting, and we kick the birds out and they're trying to fly and we're loving it. But we're trying to figure out what the new rhythm of life is in that way. And so what we've started doing, one of the new things we started doing is after dinner, we're walking together, and which researchers tell you that that will make less of Chris. They'll be, you know, you'll lose weight. And so I'm like, let's try that. Let's see what'll happen there. And so we're doing that, and we'll eat dinner. You know, we'll give ourselves a few minutes so we don't have cramps. You know, like you can't swim after you eat, you can't walk after you eat, you have cramps. And so last thing you want is for me to be in the middle of a field cramping up because I was walking too quickly after a meal. And so Becky and I will walk. We have this little circle drive, and so we do it so many times it equals a mile. And Becky, like the rest of her life, she likes to walk and do things with purpose. So when I say let's walk, she's like, boom, she tries to get a mile in as quickly as possible. And I'm like, listen, I only do mosey. Like, that's my speed. No matter what, we're going to mosey. We're going to get there, like, slow down. And so we've begun this whole process. And one of the things that I've enjoyed about it is it allows us to just talk. Like, there's no, we're not trying to stream anything. There's not any other noise other than the critters around us and an occasional car that may pass by. But it's just us, just being able to talk shoulder to shoulder and dream together, talk about the day together, whatever it may be. We try not to talk about kids or work per se, but just to have a good time of fellowship together. And so that, so I've been thinking about that and thinking about what does it mean to walk in intimacy with God. It reminded me of those walks. Is that the more that we walk together, I mean, one, you feel a little bit better each time you go out for a walk. You feel like you can do it. I'm not running anywhere. Like, listen, if you're my friend, you need to know that I have calculated that I can outrun you for at least 40 yards. Because if I'm chased by a bear, an alligator, or a zombie, I will not be eaten. Like, it will be you, because I'm going to run. So you just need to know, if you're my friend, or you think you're my friend, it's because I am faster than you for at least 40 yards. But most of the time, I'm just walking everywhere. But this is a beautiful metaphor for our relationship with God, is it's a steady pace with Him. That we're moving at a steady pace, that there's this intimacy, there's this growing knowledge of one another, and that we're walking shoulder to shoulder together. And one of the things you need to know, too, is that guys and gals are different. And if y'all don't know that, this is guys and gals are different, okay? And so gals, ladies, like to have relationship, and they like to be face-to-face. So when y'all sit down together, y'all like to eat, you like to have coffee, y'all like to be face-to-face. Guys, we do life shoulder to shoulder. And so we go, like you... Some of you have been to the bar before and you sit shoulder to shoulder with someone. You go hunting, you sit shoulder to shoulder. You go fishing, you're sitting shoulder to shoulder. Guys just do life shoulder to shoulder, and ladies do life face to face. And so for me, it's been this wonderful thing of being able to walk and grow in intimacy with my wife as we're walking shoulder to shoulder and sharing life together on maybe in some ways at a deeper level. As you're walking, you're a little bit more aware of your surroundings than if you're running, because if you're running, you're out of breath. I don't know about you, but I can run full out for about a minute before things begin to get a little fuzzy and I'm going to pass out. All right? Anybody y'all know that feeling? All right? And so walking is a good thing. You're more aware of your surroundings. Whenever you're walking, you're able to talk and be able to have communication, and that's a good thing. And it reminds me of our relationship with God. It also reminds me of our relationship with one another, is that we're in Christ, supposed to be walking together, shoulder to shoulder, in growing intimacy, in growing fellowship, that we should be able to relate together the more we do life together on a deeper level. And then we look forward to the opportunities every week that we get together to gather together, to see your friends, to see people that you've been doing life with for seasons, and that you have this deeper relationship with God, and that you've had moments where there have been some places along the road where you could stumble and someone's come alongside of you. one of the things about the path that Becky and I walk on is it is our driveway, so it is. It has rocks, it has dirt, it has all the little holes, you know, where rain comes and washes it out. And so when we walk at night, when it starts to get dark enough, we have to have the whole headlamps or our phones or whatever we're doing so that we don't stumble. And that there have been moments where Becky has yelled at me saying, hey, listen, you've got the light, like you're being selfish with the light all for yourself. And I'm like, well, get your rear end over here and get in my light with me. You chose not to bring your own light, not my problem, right? And we have that in our spiritual walk too, is that there's moments where we're walking along and someone forgot something and we're like, that's your problem, not mine. When reality, what it should be in relationship, we should say, okay, listen, I'm going to share my light with you for this moment because it's a season of darkness for you. Let me help you walk in the light. And that's the fellowship that we should be walking together when. Because here's the deal, is that the goal of the Christian life is not a destination. The goal of the Christian life is to grow in intimacy and knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ. And so as we're walking in intimacy with Him, as we're walking in intimacy with one another, that together that we should be moving in the direction, moving in the path toward Jesus to be more like Him, and that when someone says your name, your character of who you are shows to someone. So when you say, Pastor Chris, you have this image, whatever it may be, based upon our relationship, of certain things about who I am, and that's what this whole idea is that the more we walk with Christ, the more you should look like Him, think like Him, love like Him. And so as people begin to see your name and to see your character over time, they see your long walk with Jesus and the transformation that's come because of your koinonia, your deep fellowship with Him and with other believers, that we should be changed by the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what John talks about, is he's like, hey, listen, I'm the best friend of Jesus, and I want to share with you the results of my time with Jesus, of knowing Him. And one of the things we've learned here over the last few years is that knowing God isn't about the facts that we know, but it's having this intimate relationship with Him, that we've experienced Him, that we've not just stood on the edge of the pool and described the pool, but we've actually jumped in and experienced the fullness of the pool of what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, join with me in 1 John chapter 2. And here John, as he's talking about the results of having a growing knowledge, a growing faith, a growing intimacy with Jesus, he talks about the results that happen here. And he starts off by saying, my dear children. And that word, dear children, is talking about people that are young in the faith, that you've said yes to Jesus. So this is family language. So it's like a father talking to his children. Hey, my young dear children, I'm writing to you so that you will not sin. In other words, that, hey, listen, I don't want you to have the pain, shame, regrets that I had as a person. And so, children, I'm wanting you to, as you grow in your knowledge, grow in your faith, that you should have more of an affection for Jesus, for Him, than the things of this world. And so, therefore, I want you to not sin. But if anyone does sin, in other words, it's going to happen. How many of y'all, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you did not have a perfect week this week? And you had some thoughts about somebody that cut you off or whatever. You know, you had all the different things. And so sometimes it's not necessarily actions, but the thoughts that we have. And so if anyone does sin, because we're going to, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. That word advocate is a legal term. And so there is someone who's going to stand in the gap for us as our lawyer, as our advocate, and plead our case. And what is our case? And that case is that Jesus Christ is righteous and that we're righteous because of Him. And what's interesting this is that John is reminding us that not only do we have an advocate who's going to plead on our behalf, but it's the very one who's made the sacrifice and atoned for our sins that's actually pleading for us. And so he's standing in the gap before the judge, and he's saying, listen, I'm the advocate for Chris, and I want you to know that he is righteous before the Father, not because of what he's done, but because of what I've done on his behalf. And so the advocate is the one that's actually satisfied the legal requirements of death. And so he has a vested interest in you before the Father. He has a vested interest for you in front of the judge, is that he has given his all so that you and I can be made free in Christ. Because one of the things that I've seen recently is there's this newfangled thing called rucking. Y'all heard of rucking? Like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. People are putting 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 pounds on their back so they can walk and get a better walk. I'm like, listen, I'm overweight. I don't need to put 10, 20, 30, 40 extra pounds on. Like, I'm trying to lose weight, not add weight, right? And so, like, what is this happening? And so as you lose, so this whole idea is that you put this weight on there and you walk for a certain distance. So then when you take the weight off, it's easier to walk. And I'm like, yeah, that's called a diet. Don't put more weight on. And so this whole idea of that. And so for us, one of the things that we're learning in our faith and in our walk with God is that many of us, we carry these backpacks of guilt and shame and pain and regret. And Jesus says, listen, in the walk of Christ, take those things off. I've covered those things for you. Quit carrying them around. They don't add to your life. They just weigh you down. And he says, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. That word atone means at one moment. At one moment on the cross, whenever Christ cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was in that moment that God the Father and God the Son fellowship was broken temporarily because all of our sins were placed upon him and judgment was placed upon him. And so there was this broken fellowship in that moment. So at that moment, Jesus became the substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. He paid the penalty. He died for us in that one moment. So in that moment, not only are our sins atoned for, but also because we say yes to Jesus, we have an offering of forgiveness. And so now we don't have to carry the backpack of walking with like he's taken it from us. That's the weight that's been put upon him. And then also this beautiful thing that happens now in that moment too, a restoration of our broken fellowship with God that happened back in the garden when Adam and Eve chose to sin. For all of human history up to this point, we needed God to step in on our behalf and at that moment atone for us. And so now the breath that man was longing for, that God kind of got punched in the stomach in the moment whenever they sinned in the garden, now at this moment, whenever we say yes to Jesus, our relationship with him can be restored. You understand in that moment when Moses heard from God at the burning bush and he said, hey, who can I tell them I am? God said, the I am. He said, Yahweh, which is literally the breath of God. And so God was reminding them, the very God that was in the garden that fulfilled and gave breath of life to Adam, I'm restoring it in their people and that it becomes the full restoration. We gain our breath back. The relationship with God is restored when we say yes to Jesus at that one moment of atonement. He himself atones for us. And we can be sure that we know, that word know, if you've been around here for a little bit, know is gnosko, which is an experiential relationship knowledge that just the more that Becky and I spend time together, she knows me for the good or for the bad. It's that knowledge that the longer that you're with someone and do life with someone, you're going to know them on a deeper level. And so this is what God's saying. The longer we walk together, the more you're going to know me and know that I'm trustworthy. Like we even sang today, like I can trust you, God, because experience after experience out of experience that I've had with you shows me that you are trustworthy and your promises are always true. And so this knowing is this deep fellowship with God, this walking in his light, that to know that whenever he shines light on the areas of our darkness, that it's always for his benefit and for his glory, and we get the results as well, that the things that were cheap trinkets that we used to think brought purpose and meaning to our life, we realize that they don't because they've been brought to the light. And also this idea of being located in him. And maybe y'all have heard of these things called malls. Y'all remember these things? There were these big old buildings and they had shops and you could spend a lot of money in there. And if you'd never been into this one mall before, what would the first thing that you would do? You would walk in, you would find that little square looking thing and it had a map of the mall and it said, you are here, right? Because you needed to know where you were because you had a place that you were going to go. You were going to go to a certain shop or shops and you had this idea of if I know that I'm here, then I can locate myself in this building so I can know where I need to go. And this is the same idea, is that when we're located in Christ, we understand that he's aligning us and he's saying, you are here, you are in me. And so now when you know where you're at, you can go with purpose to where I want you to be going. And for us, like Christ, if we're mimicking him, we are going and what we are doing is we are about the Father's business and his agenda. And so there's shops along the way of life that we're like, hey, that used to have meaning and purpose, but now it doesn't. I'm about the Father's business. I have a destination, and that destination is the Father's business. I won't be distracted by the things that the world offers anymore. He says, if someone claims, I know God, again, that experiential deal, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and not living in the truth. And we understand that the commandments, there's 613 of them. Jesus boiled them down to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and show how you love God by how you love your neighbor. That's the commands. And so if you're not loving God and not loving your neighbor, then you're not living in the truth. And here's what we need to know is that if we're not loving God, one of the reasons is because we have an inadequate understanding of who Jesus is. That Jesus continually points us back to the Father. He's continually saying, I'm about the Father's business. Say, Jesus, why are you doing this? Because I'm about the Father's business. Jesus, why aren't you doing this? He's like, because I'm about the Father's business. And so the same should be true about us when people say, hey, Chris, why are you doing this? He's like, because I'm about the Father's business. Hey, Chris, well, why don't you do these things? Because I'm about the Father's business. It's this idea of being in knowledge of Him, understanding Jesus drives us to the Father. But those who obey, this is a continual ongoing action. Those who continually, ongoingly obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. This word completely has this idea of satisfaction, that you've had a meal, and that meal has just, it's been a great meal, and you get to that point where you're full. Any of y'all felt that feeling? Where you're completely satisfied, and you're like, if I have one more bite, I'm going to go over the edge, right? And so this is that idea, is that you're in such obedience, the ongoing thing that fulfills you is obeying God's word, and it brings satisfaction to you, a complete satisfaction, because they love Him. This love is that agape love, this sacrificial love, that our obedience is sacrificial and it brings us in Christ. It brings us complete satisfaction. We find that peace that we're longing for. We find that joy that we're longing for through our obedience and being about the Father's business. Obedience to know God is to love one another, which is our obedience. You cannot have a relationship with God that doesn't transform your heart, your mind, your soul, and how you love each other. One of the things that all throughout the New Testament, Jesus says we should love one another, and He tells us several different ways to do it. And in the context, every time that He says we should love one another, it's within the context of the church family. In other words, church family, we should love one another, and that is our calling card. Matter of fact, the world is looking for us as the church to love each other so well that they're attracted to the church. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, why did the church grow so rapidly? One of the main reasons that they grew so rapidly was because of how the church people loved each other, that others were like, I want to be in a part of a family. I want to be a part of a group that's not judgmental, but that loves like this. Unfortunately, church, not our church, but the church universal is unfortunately too many times known for not loving each other, but for what divides us and how we judge others and what we're against instead of what we're for. He continues on and he says, so those who say they live in God, again, this is that location, that they live in God, they should live their lives as Jesus did. This is that idea that as we're walking, we're mimicking Him, we're looking and loving and like Him, but it's not in our own power and it's on our own strength, but it's a life that's mimicking Jesus in the way that He lived and loved, that's empowered by the Spirit. In other words, it's not something we can do in our own strength and our own knowledge, but as we get to know Jesus more and more and more, we understand that we are even more dependent to live the life of Jesus. We need the Spirit even more to empower us. And so John moves from this idea of dear children, he moves to even a more intimate language. He says, dear friends. That word friends, the root word of it is that word agape. And so you know agape is the God-type love. And so John is saying, hey, dear friends, dear people in my church family that I love with a God-type love because we have koinonia fellowship, that we have a shared experience around Christ, we have a shared experience around our fellowship together, and we love one another. And so there's this deep love and affection for each other that when we come in on a Sunday, that you're going to run to some people that you know, and you're going to have this idea of, dear friends, we have done some walking together around some treacherous places. And so I know and I love you and I trust you because you will walk shoulder to shoulder with me, and you have walked shoulder to shoulder with me in koinonia fellowship. He says, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message that you've had before. Yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you are also living it. Because you remember, Jesus, whenever Jesus came in, who did he question the most? He questioned the religious people. He says, hey, listen, y'all been doing religion well, but I want you to see what it is like to actually love well. And so we have the old command, but now we have a new expression and a new understanding of it in the person of Jesus Christ. And so you're living it, for the darkness is disappearing. Just as we have continual obedience, as we're continually being obedient, the dark is disappearing. It's continual as well. So the more we are obedient to Christ, the more light is shined on us, and so the less darkness there is. And so it's this movement that we're in, is that we're walking in the light together closer and closer to Jesus, the more there's less darkness because we're moving in and to the light of Jesus Christ. And the true light is already shining. That you and I experience and grow in our faith in Christ as we allow the light of Christ to scan across and to look and to see the dark places of your life. If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is living in darkness. Again, where are you located? Are you located in light or in darkness? Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in light and does not cause others to stumble. That word stumble, we get our word scandal. Y'all have heard of the word scandal? Y'all know what that is? And so that is that moment. And so, as I told you, Becky and I sometimes, depending on the day, sometimes when we start walking, it's dark. It's dark at night, and so we have a light. And one of the first times we did it, she said, hey, just bring your phone. That'll be enough light. And it wasn't. But as we're walking and we're going along, and so I'm making sure that I don't stumble, right? I mean, that's how it is. And so I know where some of these things are. And so consistently, she's bumping into me so she can get into my light so she can see where she's going. And I'm like, listen, you should have brought your own light. Like, don't be getting in my light. And she's like, why don't you share your light? And so we had a little scandalous moment right there together. And she's like, I don't want to trip and fall because you're not sharing your light with me. And this is our journey, is that as we walk together in Christ, as we're shoulder to shoulder, there are going to be moments where our light doesn't feel like it's shining bright enough. But if we're walking in community together, the light of others can provide enough light. And there may be moments where, like, I can see where you're about to stumble. I've walked this path with a little bit of darkness. And so I'm going to shine the light here so that you do not stumble. Because we're to also know that there are moments where whenever you're walking in darkness in the country that you hear things off to the side. And what I've learned pretty quickly is I don't want to shine my light over here. One, because she might stumble. I mean, I don't want to have to deal with that if she stumbles. Because that will end the walk, guys. That is over. But as we're walking and I can hear things, and every once in a while I can peer and I can see eyes. And so I'm pretty sure at the level that it's at, it's not a cow. I'm pretty sure it's not a snake, because we have voted snakes are not on our ladder on our property, so they don't show up. But there may be a skunk, there may be an armadillo, there may be something, and I don't want her to be distracted by the things that are out there and just be able to, like, hey, listen, as long as we keep walking and we walk in the light, they're not going to bother us. And that is true for you and I. If we keep our light attuned to the path and where we're going, we know the direction, and there may be moments where one of us is in a season where we need someone else to shine the light over a little bit more to help us, that we don't need to be distracted by the noises that we hear over here, because God says he's protecting us and he's not going to allow us to go some places that he hasn't been and not going to protect us. In Psalm 23, it says that you will walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness. There will be moments of suffering. There will be moments of darkness. And to trust the shepherd, that the shepherd has walked the path and he has enough light ahead of him to guide us and direct us. That we don't get ahead of the shepherd. We don't get beside the shepherd. We follow along beside him. And even in those moments where he lovingly disciplines us, it's to keep us on the path, to not get distracted by the things that are on the side that could harm us. To walk through the valley of the shadow, because there are moments where we could stumble. And it's also this idea, too, of that where are we causing people to stumble? It's actually people within the church. It's not out there, but that we cause each other to stumble by the way that we love or don't love each other. That one of the reasons that many of us have stepped away from church for one reason or another, we've struggled with church, is because we're humans and because we've caused each other to stumble in the way that we've said something or didn't say something, and we don't adult well and figure out how we can live life together. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. For such a person does not know the way to go because they've been blinded by the darkness. You know you need the light for the next step. It continues on. He says, hey, I'm writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. He's given them just basic instruction. I'm writing to those of you who are mature. So not just the young in faith, but now the mature in faith. Why? Because your faith, you know Christ. You have an experiential knowledge of him who existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle over the evil one. Now that you are in Christ, you're no longer held back by the things that used to weigh you down. I've written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. And I've written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are young because you are strong. And this strength has nothing to do with you, but it has the strength that comes from being empowered by the Spirit. Why? Because God's word lives in your hearts. Because of that, you can win the battles that are ahead. Again, not in your own strength and in your own knowledge, but in the strength and wisdom and truth of God's word. They're strong because they've remained in and abided in and they're walking in the truth of God's word. So therefore, because of these things, do not continue on. Not we're supposed to continually love. He says the other side of this, and obey. The other side of this, he says, do not continue to love the world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. The love that God produces allows us to see each other and be amazed by the grace that God has bestowed upon us. Because listen, if most of us are honest with ourselves and we really allow the deep darkness of our souls, that like there's stuff in us that we don't want anyone else to know, that's how amazed we should be by God's grace. That God knows the stuff that you don't want anyone else to know about you. He went to the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the stuff that's in Chris's life that he doesn't want anyone else to know, I am willing to be the advocate and die even for that. So God the Father says, hey, listen, the love that you have for each other, the love that you have for me, may it be a well-being that if you are amazed by God's grace for you, use the same measure when you love others. Because the love that the world produces doesn't satisfy. Just like the table of God brings us to complete satisfaction, the table of the world, you continually have to have more and more and more. It's like the unhealthy things that you can eat one donut and like a couple minutes later, you need another donut, right? Even though you know it's not good for you because you satisfy and you crave those things. Like some of you have eaten Chinese food. You've eaten like 5,000 pounds of Chinese food. And 5 minutes later, what do you say? I'm hungry. Right, that's the world. You can eat and eat and eat and then walk away a few minutes later and you're not satisfied. You thought you were, but you're not. That is the world. But in Christ, you sit at the table of him and you can walk away and be satisfied, but then long for that meal again, even though you're satisfied. You want to sit at that table again because you know that it brings sustenance. You know that it revives you. You know that it is good for you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see. This is that idea of coveting that you see others, you take from others, and then pride in your achievements and possessions. In other words, you judge others by your achievements and your possessions. These are not from the Father, but these are from the world. Koinonia fellowship. Where do we have fellowship? With the world or with God? He says, and this world is fading or passing away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Here's my challenge to you is our authentic faith leads to obedience to God, and it shows from that the fruit is that we love people better, including our church, including those around us. Authentic faith leads to light, and it exposes the dark places, the places of disobedience. And our character and the way that we walk is different. The more that we allow the light to change us and transform us, the more things we let out of the backpack of pain, shame, regret, and sin that we used to hold on to and that we can walk in freedom in Christ. Our walk, our life, our character is our billboard for the good news of Jesus Christ. That when someone says your name, hopefully from today and in 5 years, that you have been walking with Christ long enough and in the light of Christ that he's changing you as you're continually obedient to his love, that your love and the way that you think about people and care for people is radically different than 5 years ago, not because of your own strength or your own power, but because you've been empowered by the Spirit and you have a different appetite and you are so amazed by the grace that God has offered you that you're willing to offer it to others. So let's you and I walk together in Christ. Just like Becky and I, get your lights, walk shoulder to shoulder, and do life together. And know that there's going to be seasons where it's going to get a little dark and you're going to have to help each other. Know that there's going to be seasons where you're going to have to communicate a little bit quicker. Know that there's going to be moments in the walk where there's going to be some little shiny eyes around the side and you're not going to pay attention to them because you know that the Father is guiding your direction and the path. And that even the purpose of the walk is not the end of the walk, but it's the journey and growing intimate with each other. Let's you and I walk together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the atonement that we have in him. Thank you for his grace and his mercy. Thank you that he is the one that said yes to walking with us. Father, I pray that each one of us in the room that we have said yes to Jesus, that we have been amazed by his grace toward us, that we have allowed him to atone for our sins, and that every single day we understand that he is advocating on our behalf, and that the very one that atoned our sins is our advocate. He is the argument. He doesn't need to bring one. Father, I pray that each one of us along our walk, that we would walk in the light. We would walk at a pace that we wouldn't leave our walking partners behind. And in the moments of darkness in their life, that we would shine a little bit of our light and our understanding of what's ahead. That we've walked part of this path before, and so we offer advice and counsel and wisdom. And Father, even in those moments where we know that there's a predator waiting and crouching to harm us and to hurt us, to know that if we continue to walk in the light, you are going to protect us. That you know the predator is there. But as your word says, we already have victory even over the predators in our life. May you be brought glory and honor through our walk this week. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.